Good morning, everybody. I'm Rob Farini. I'm one of the elders of the church here, and I have the great pleasure to introduce Bob Elster. Bob Elster's been a friend of Trinity Community Church for, I don't know how long.
Long time.
It's been a long time. So he's a great preacher, and we're very lucky to have him today. So please give a warm welcome to Bob Elster. Thanks so much, Bob. Looks like you're in a little pain there.
Yeah, I'll explain that in a minute. Thank you. I always walk like that. What do you mean? All right. Good morning, everyone. So, yeah, I did. First, it's great to be with you guys. I love Trinity. Some of you may know me. Some of you may not. Consider it in many ways like a second home. If you notice, I'm me hobbling around. That's not normally how I walk. I happened to pull my left calf yesterday and my right calf this morning. So two in a row. It was great. So, and I'd love to say I have some great story behind it, that I was doing something amazing, but I was literally just walking. So I guess getting old. I was playing disc golf yesterday. Anyone play disc golf? A couple people? Okay, cool. Yeah, it's getting more popular these days. I've been playing for a while, but I'd like to say I was actually doing something when I sprained it, when I pulled it, but I wasn't. I was just walking. So anyway, it's great to be with you guys this morning. And want to start by just talking about, have any of you guys heard of the show Survivor? Anyone seen it before? Just put your hands up. Fair amount of you. Okay, all right. Just in case a few people haven't, just real quick, the basic concept of the show is you go and you're out in some basically island in the middle of nowhere, and you have rice, and you're with a bunch of people you don't know, and you have to learn how to survive. Thus, Survivor. And of course, there's a lot of drama. They always pick people that are going to, you know, create that drama, so we're interested. As the show goes on, probably you're not allowed to talk to family, friends, anything like that. So probably about three quarters of the way through, very often, there's a episode where they bring family members to the island, because you haven't seen your family now for a month or 2 months or whatever, and everyone's feeling alone and all that. And so typically what happens is they kind of line everyone up. The person from Survivor is, you know, out there, and then their family, you know, their loved one comes running out and running to them, and they give them a big hug and a kiss, all that type of stuff. And when that happens, typically my wife looks over at me and she says, "You would never do that." Meaning I would never hug and kiss her at that moment. And what she's getting at is, again, they probably haven't showered, brushed their teeth, that kind of thing, for a while. And I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. So now I'd like to think that I actually would be able to do that. So I've told her that if she's ever on Survivor, which I don't think she will be, but if she is, I promised her that I will give her a hug and a kiss. But the point is in the show Survivor, they get dirty, they get, you know, and I don't, who knows what they do behind the scenes when the camera's not on, right? But they're dirty, and they're just kind of a mess, but their family just embraces them, right? Just gives them a hug, gives them a kiss. They don't care at that moment, right? And in many ways, I think that that's how we can experience God's love for us, right? I think, you know, let's be honest, none of us are perfect. We fall short, right? So I don't know, I wouldn't say dirty maybe, but, you know, we fall short, we're broken. But God, open arms, wants to just embrace us, right, and love us. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to be using Matthew 11:28 is going to be our main text this morning. And we'll primarily be focusing on that. Let me just pray for us, and then I'll read that for us. Father, I just come before you this morning. I just thank you for every single person who's here, anyone who's online watching. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would work here this morning. I pray, Father, that my words would be your words, Lord, and just anything that's of you, would you put on people's hearts? If it's not of you, that it wouldn't, Father. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would work this morning. I just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All right. So we're going to break this verse into three different pieces. All right. We're not going to do it necessarily in order. We are going to start with the "you who are weary and burdened." And I would say that this is kind of a unique time where a lot of people are feeling weary and burdened, right? And I'll get to that in a minute. But when I read this passage back some time ago, it made me think of a young man who I used to work with. So back many years ago, when I was first out of college, I was actually a social worker. So I worked in group homes, detention centers, that sort of thing. I worked for the state as a social worker. And one of the jobs I had was called a tracker. Kids would be just getting out of prison, and I would basically track them. I'd kind of reach out to them in community, make sure they were where they were supposed to be, that sort of thing, and also kind of help them, to encourage them to kind of make some better decisions, that sort of thing. And I remember there's this one boy, his name was Jose, and one night, I had caught him out when he wasn't supposed to, and then the next night, I was at his house. It was late at night, and we were sitting out on his stairs, and Jose is, you know, he's in a gang, sells drugs, just, you know, that kind of kid at that point in time in his life, and he and I sat down, and we just started talking, and I just talked to him about his life, and I was talking about just the choices he's making, and we just had an awesome conversation. And this kid who just has this hard exterior, right, who has done some unthinkable things, just started breaking down, started bawling, right, in front of me. And the thing about Jose is he didn't want to be where he was, right? And the reality is most people that are doing those things, they don't, right? It's like, it's what they grow up with. We're not getting into all that. But he was definitely weary and burdened. Right, and he just felt the pressure of his life on him, and he just broke down, right? And I'd like to say that that story turned into something amazing. It didn't, I'll be honest. He went on a week later, ended up shooting someone, unfortunately, and ended up back in jail. But I bring that up just for the weariness and burden. That's what I think of. I think of just that moment and just how he felt. But I think also in this time, over the last year, last year has been a little crazy, right? It's been a lot of stuff going on, right, in our world, whether it's COVID, whether it's race relations, right, whether it's politics, there's just been some crazy stuff going on. And a lot of people are feeling weary, are feeling burdened. And the thing to understand is that people carry that. A lot of times they don't put it out there, but people are carrying that weight right now. They're feeling weary and burdened. And here's the deal. It's for Christian and non-Christian, right? I mean, as I talk to non-Christians or Christians, I hear a lot of weariness and burden in what people are sharing with me. The thing is, the difference for us as Christians, if we have a relationship with God, is that we can receive freedom from that, right? God offers that to us. God, ultimately, he wants to help, right? He loves us. Right, he wants to help us in that weariness and burdensome. Now, when we talk about weariness, think of it as being just super tired. One of the things that comes to mind for me when we talk about this idea of being weary is, so I coach soccer. So I coach high school and I also coach club. So during the high school season, I don't know if anyone coaches high school sports, but it's kind of all-encompassing, right? And I have a full-time job as well. And it's, my wife and I kind of know, like, it's going to be 2 months of kind of just craziness, right? Trying to keep up with everyone. We kind of say, like, I'll see you in 2 months is kind of what we joke, right? Because it just becomes crazy. I love it, but I also grow very weary, right? I'm just running around all the time, and I get drained eventually, right? And when we're talking about this in terms of what we're talking about this morning, it's not just a physical weariness. We're also talking about kind of a spiritual weariness as well, right? And that doesn't relate necessarily to soccer, but that's kind of that idea of what we're talking about when we talk about being weary. Now, this weariness that we're talking about, it often comes from us trying to do it ourselves. We're really good at doing that, trying to take things on ourselves. When we do that, we become weary. All right. Now, the word burden, and I love this one. If you study that word kind of in the Greek, right, it has this idea of loading things on a ship, right? So you've ever seen like a big cargo ship and they're just loading all these things on top of the ship and all like the, just weighted down, right? And so it has this idea of, for us, when we're burdened, we are loading all these things on ourselves. Loading it up, right? And that's an important point because oftentimes, yes, life happens and things happen, but instead of sometimes giving it over to God, we burden ourselves, right? We put it on ourselves. And I love that imagery of kind of loading a ship and just letting. Sometimes that's the way life feels, right? We're just, some people just keep loading. Life just keeps happening, right? And we just feel this burdensome on our life. Well, in the middle of that weariness, in the middle of that burden that we might be feeling, Christ tells us to come in the midst of all of that. Right? So in our text, again, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Right? Come to me. And I love that he starts with, come to me. Right? Because typically we start with kind of the subject first, then the verb. Right? And this really emphasizing, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Right? And this is the thing, is in this, it doesn't say, hey, you know what, go do all these things. Go do A, B, C, you know, jump through these hoops, then do this, and then come to me. It's not what he says, right? He just says, come to me. That's it. Just come to me. Simple. Well, seemingly simple, right? But that is what he's calling us to do. I love this morning, this is kind of a side note, but the mention of Alpha, right? So that's, in many ways, kind of, it's that context, right? Come as you are, right? So that's awesome. So we're going to look at a few passages where we kind of see this concept in Scripture, and there's a ton of them, but we're just going to look at some passages in Luke, and I'll just kind of read these for you quickly, some of them. I won't read necessarily every single one, but we're going to look at, so Luke 5, 1 through 11, we'll look at that first, and I'll just read that to you. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, this doesn't use the phrase, come to me, in here. But what I love about this, and especially as you look at the call of the disciples, again, Jesus didn't say, like, okay, you need to fill out this application, right? And then you need, you know, three recommendations, right? And you gotta meet all this criteria first, right? He didn't do that. He said, come, right? Follow me. Right, we got some stuff to do, and like, all right, you know, let's do that. So there wasn't this expectation first, right? The first thing was follow me, was come to me. We look at Luke 5, 27 through 31. Next, get this up here. All right. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy you need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Right, we see again in this context, he's calling, right? He just literally says, follow me. And Levi's like, okay, let's go, right? And we don't know necessarily exactly what Levi's life was like, but we certainly know at a minimum he hang out with not the best people, right? Tax collectors at that time were known as being very, they take a little extra, that kind of thing, right? Think of them in that way. Maybe we still don't like tax collectors, I don't know, but we won't get into that. But the point here is again, we don't see Jesus saying that, hey, there's all these things that you need to live up to first, right? And I love this text, this context too, because not only did he say, hey, come to me, to Levi, but then Levi said, hey, you know what? I'm going to have a bunch of friends over. We're going to have a big party, right? And these are sinners and tax collectors, right? And so basically, he just said, yeah, okay, let's go do that. I'm going to go hang out with them, right? And so Jesus, it's not about when you say come to me, it's not just come to church with me, right? It's come to me, come in my life, right? And that's what Jesus is doing. He's living life with them, right? Saying, come to me. And he comes and he sits down at the table and they're doing life together. All right, let's look at Luke 5, 12 through 13. Jumping around a little. It's the man with leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Again, there wasn't a bunch of things that this man with leprosy had to do first, right? It wasn't, hey, you got to do all these things and then I'll heal you. Then I'll love you. Then I'll embrace you. I can imagine that life and the burden that that person must have felt living with leprosy, right? And Jesus is like, I'm going to remove that, right? We have the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to read that a little longer. Many of you probably know it, but Luke 15, 11 through 31. Just in case, just, you know, you have two brothers and a father, and there's an inheritance. And one of the brothers decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to take the inheritance, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to party it up and have a good life. And the other brother stays out, committed to the dad, and is going to stay there and work at the house and that sort of thing. And as many of you probably know, the story comes, this brother that goes decide to waste the inheritance and live that life ends up basically living with pigs and having not such a good experience, right? He comes and he's dirty, he's living with pigs, and he eventually comes home, right? And as he comes up to the father, what does the father say? No, okay, you know what? First, listen, you got to go prove yourself, right? You have to go, let's get your life right first, and then I'm going to welcome you back into the home. He doesn't do that, right? It's kind of like Survivor again, right? Comes up, gives him a big hug, throws a banquet. They celebrate. The son has returned, right? He's returned, right? There's not all these stipulations about what he needs to do first, right? And what is the expression there? It's come as you are. Come as you are, where you are, wherever you've been. God wants to embrace us and love us. And then the rest comes. We'll get into that in a minute. I'll end with this one here. Luke 23, 39 through 43. It's the criminal on the cross, right? One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. What an awesome testimony of come as you are. Right, here's the man hanging on a cross who admits he's a criminal. He admits that he did something. He said, we are justly being punished. Right? And he just, Jesus, come as you are. Right? I'll see you in paradise. It's awesome. That's the God who we follow. That's the God who we follow. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me here. God absolutely wants us to live a life that's pleasing to him. He desires that. He wants that from us. So I don't want you to misunderstand that. But it's the order that we get wrong a lot of times. And that's where we make our mistake. Right? The order is not get right first and then come to God. It doesn't work. Right? The only reason why we're able to get right is because of God. Right? If we don't have the Spirit, if we don't have the power and the guidance from God, we can't get right. And we get that confused sometimes, and then maybe not even intentionally. And what I would say is a lot of people who I've run into who don't have a relationship with God, they get that confused too, and partially that's probably our fault because of the things sometimes we focus on. All right? I remember a friend back, this is a long time ago, this is after college, and I remember a friend in us having conversation. And we used to go and hang out and do things, and they would do a lot of things, and I would kind of take care of them, and we won't get into all that. But the point is, I remember one day having a conversation with him, and him just saying, you know what, yeah, I'm really curious about this God stuff, but I feel like I got to get some things right first. Like, I don't feel like I'm good enough to go to God yet. I feel like I got to kind of get some stuff done first. And I was just like, it doesn't work that way, right? Come as you are, and you and God can figure that out. right? It's not like a list you got to figure, you know, do first and then you come to God. Come to him first and let him work that out with you. It's super important to understand that. Right, the concept in many ways we can see in Romans 12, 1 through 2. I love that passage. Right, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and holy will. The point of that verse is we offer ourselves as living sacrifices. And we're not getting into the details of that, but we offer ourselves completely to him. Right? We offer ourselves over to him. And then what happens is we experience the transformation. Do not conform, but be transformed. And it's not you doing the transformation. We get into the geeky stuff of the Greek there and stuff, but the verb tense, it's happening to you. Okay? God's doing that transformation. Right? So our job is to come. His job is to transform. We got to get that right. So does Jesus ever ask people to do something first in Scripture in the New Testament? He does. There's times where he said, there's an example of, you know, go give half of your wealth, right? But I want to ask you, do you think that really Jesus cares about half that person's wealth? Jesus has no, he doesn't care about the wealth. What's his point there? He's questioning the person's heart, right? Is that person really coming to him? That's what's happening in those situations, is it's a questioning of the person's heart. See, the key in all of the verses that we've read and everything that we've talked about so far is understanding what it means to come. Understanding what it means to come. And really what we're talking about here is we're talking about surrender. We're talking about surrendering ourselves to God. Right? Again, going back to kind of Romans 12, 1, this idea of offering ourselves as living sacrifices, that's surrendering ourselves. This idea of coming, it's not just kind of a going through the motions come. This is a come, give me all that you are. And so in those instances in Scripture where that's not happening, it's because that person's not really surrendering. Right? They're not really giving it over to God. I know for me, definitely experienced this in life, and I'm sure many of you probably have. I think back to the very end of college and kind of a little after that, I walked away from God for a little bit. Nothing like super extreme, but kind of walked away, wasn't going to church a whole lot, making some poor choices. Again, nothing crazy or anything like that, but I knew what I was doing. Compared to a lot of other people I was spending time with, I probably still was making good choices, they thought, but I knew I wasn't living the way God wanted me to. I walked away. And initially, fine. But as time went on, things got a little rough. And it started to really impact my life. And the reality is what was happening there is I was taking control. I said, you know what, God, I got it for a little while. I'm good. I got it. I'm going to make my own choices. Not going to lean on you. I got it. Time went on, and me getting it didn't work so well, right? It led to some, you know, some poor choices, some broken relationships, not fun stuff. And that drove me to a point where ultimately I had to surrender, right? I just remember it hitting me in the face and be like, what am I doing? Like, look where I've been. And just remember just breaking and say, okay, you know what, God, here I am. Screwed up. I'm a mess right now. Here I am. And I will say that that, for me, was a huge pivot in my walk with God. All right, I was a Christian. I was pretty solid before that. But there was just something different about that surrender after having gone through that. And God, 100%, with open arms, was saying, come to me. Right? And I surrendered, and things changed. Things turned around in my life. And I'm not saying that means life all of a sudden got perfect or anything like that. I'm not trying to say that. I'm talking about internally, too, just the peace that God gives in the midst of no matter what's going on, right? As I came to him and I was able to surrender to that. The good thing here is that God did give me that rest. And that's what our passage promises, right? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now for me, that took some time. It wasn't like, you know, snap of the finger and it's good. That rest took some time to kind of receive and be able to embrace in my life. But it felt almost like a cleansing, just a weight lifted. Even though life wasn't suddenly better, there was just a weight lifted because I knew God had it. No matter what was happening, he had it, right? And so just that cleansing feeling. When I think of that, and this is kind of more of a physical example of the emotional or spiritual feeling. So I used to play volleyball back in the day. I played in college, and then after I played doubles, and actually, believe it or not, you're not going to believe it looking at me now, but I played at a pretty high level, professional level, doubles volleyball. And I'd play in these all-day tournaments, doubles, and you'd have to play, you know, match after match after match to kind of get to the finals, that sort of thing. And so it was a grueling day. You'd be out in the hot sun, you'd be sweating, you'd be dying, dirty, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I would just, at the end of the day, I would just feel wiped. And not only just wiped, but just dirty and gross, and I'd have dirt on me, and it was just a mess. And I remember that nothing felt better than to go home and get in the shower. And just the water, and just cleaning off that grime, and just kind of relaxing, and just feeling that just cleansing feeling. It felt awesome. And in many ways, I think of that from a spiritual perspective of what I felt when God said, come, I surrendered, and there was just that cleansing feeling of everything. And it doesn't mean everything went away, but spiritually, there was just this cleansing of it's all good. God's got it. God's got it. Right? And some of us need that right now. Some of you need that right now. Right, whatever burden you might have, however you might be feeling weary, you might need that. So do you need to come? Do you need to come? Do you need to surrender? Right? Because it's really easy, especially, you know, sometimes if you've been walking with God for a while, it's really easy to kind of put it on kind of autopilot, right? And just kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of doing the God thing, right? But really, we're kind of controlling it. Like, if we're honest, if we step back, and we really look at it and say, like, day to day, am I really leaning on him? Or am I kind of controlling it and I'm just kind of going through the motions? And so maybe some of the weariness and the burden that maybe you're feeling comes from that. And maybe you just really need to come. You need to really surrender to him. Everything, every aspect of your life. Jesus does say, come as you are. And I would encourage you, if you're in that place, to do that. Now, there's one more application, though, to this. And that is, will you offer the same to others? Right? So this isn't just about you. First, get right with God if that's what you need to do. But will you offer that same thing to other people? Will you say, come as you are? Genuinely say that to people. Now, we all have our areas that maybe we struggle with that. Right? We all have our little pet peeves, or maybe there's people that we just really struggle with or whatever. A lot of us have that, right? For me, for whatever reason in life, it's been very easy for me to love on people that have done some very extreme things, all right? So that's like when I was a social worker and stuff like that. But if I ever am with you and you're eating with your mouth open, we're done forever, all right? No, I'm just joking, sort of. all right. The point here is this. We all have our stuff. We have our kind of little things that get in the way of us loving people, of saying to people, come as you are, right? Whatever that is for you, you got to give that over to God. We need to be able to say it to everyone, no matter who they are, no matter what they've gone through, no matter what they're going through at the moment, we need to be able to say, come as you are. And truly, and mean it, and if your heart's not in it, pray about that. Because that's what God calls us to, right? We're called to be his hands and feet here on earth. If you really think about it, as Christians, it's really the only reason why we're here, right? Big picture. Otherwise, what's the point, right? If we already have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, right? We eternity's set. right? So what's left for us to do, the activity, is to love people, say, come as you are. Encourage people to receive that. We need to love people the way that Christ loved us. Right? Christ didn't kind of have his pet peeves and say, well, okay, you did that, so I don't know, that makes me feel a little weird. No. Right? It didn't matter. Doesn't matter. Christ loved us enough to give up his life. So I think for us, can we give up maybe some discomfort? Can we give up a little uncomfortableness to say to people, come as you are? And yes, it applies here in church, but as I said earlier, it also applies in life. Because as the gentleman said earlier, sometimes the first thing people are going to do is not come to church. They're going to step into your life and be a friend. Right? And how are you going to love them in that friendship, in that relationship? Because that's your first, oftentimes, saying, come as you are, is that. Then next, maybe, it's here at church. But can we share the love of Christ with others? Can we say, come as you are? That is my hope and prayer for everyone here. First, if you haven't surrendered and you're feeling weary, you're feeling burdened with all the stuff that's been happening this year, give that over to him. He wants to take it. He wants to take it. And it may not mean that life's going to get better all of a sudden, but it does mean that he can offer a peace. And he can give you direction. And he can give you guidance. And he can give you strength. Then, the second challenge is, can you say, come as you are? Can you offer that? Because people need it right now. People have always needed it. But people right now, a lot of people are feeling lonely. They're feeling overwhelmed. They're feeling burdened. Just your willingness to say, come as you are, is going to make an impact in people's lives. Let me pray for us. Father, I just come before you this morning, and first, I just want to thank you so much for how much you love us. Thank you for sending your son. Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every person here and listening online, Lord, I pray, Lord, that that we have surrendered or are willing to surrender right now, Father. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here as they heard this message and they're just hurting inside, they're feeling weary, they're feeling burdened, Lord, and it just brought up some things, I pray that you would be with them. I pray that you'd wrap your arms around them right now, Father, and that you'd minister them and that they would be willing to give it all over to you, to surrender, to come to you and receive that embrace, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, for each one of us that we'd be challenged to say to more people, come as you are, to love people where they're at, Father, to be willing to receive them into our life and then ultimately into our community. Father, I just pray, Lord, that we'd be challenged by that, to love people the way that you've loved us. So continue to work in each one of our lives, and I just ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Will you please rise and